Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are you feeling stressed? Whew, take a deep breath and join us as we learn how to deal with workplace anxiety. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and back in the studio with me, we have our lovely Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Campbell. It's great to be here, and thank you for being one of the people that I work with who helps ease my workplace anxiety. You're always cheerful and encouraging. And that big sigh you gave out right there at the introduction, were you just acting?
I was just acting. Okay. I was encouraging people to breathe in.
I got it. Okay, right? Let's do that. Okay.
Because I think a lot of times taking a breath helps us to calm down, to de-stress, and just to take a moment to process. Things are not as bad as we may think they are.
Yes.
Right. So we're talking about workplace anxiety, and we had a long discussion yesterday about what is causing workplace anxiety. And there's one key thing, and we talked about productivity anxiety yesterday. Can you remind everybody what productivity anxiety is and what causes it?
Productivity anxiety is really this question. Am I doing enough? Mm-hmm. If you are constantly asking that question, am I doing enough, with a worried feeling, you have anxiety about your productivity.
Yeah. And on the flip side also, am I working on the right things?
Yes.
Right? So it's just kind of a two-sided coin here, right? Am I doing enough, and am I working on the right things? And why do these things matter so much to employees? Well, there are several factors that are causing this productivity anxiety. And number one is the hustle culture, right? Can you remind everybody what is hustle culture?
Sure. The expectation in your workplace that you're busy all the time. Companies that encourage a hustle culture are expecting their employees to keep busy and look busy all the time.
Right, to do more, get more done, to be more productive. This hustle culture, spend long hours, right? The billable hours, the ones that can, you know, bill more hours and get more done and make more money for the company. Those are the ones that are rewarded. And then on the other side of it is also the layoff environment, where a lot of people are losing jobs and they're getting laid off or fired. And this fear of wanting to keep employed, you don't want to become unemployed. So you got to work hard so you can keep your job, or else you're going to get fired. And it's just this terrible cycle that's going on. So yesterday we also talked about what employees can do and what employers can do. So employees are the ones that are hired, okay, the workers. So what advice did Dr. Martin give to employees yesterday?
The advice was to schedule your own appointment with the boss, a check-in, and being direct with your boss.
Right, and asking questions. Am I working on the right things? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing enough? And then asking for specific instructions on what are priorities and what are the goals? What are the targets that you are expecting of me, so that you can know whether you're on the right track, right? And then it's also it's a dance. It's not just the employees, it's also the employers, right? The bosses and the managers. And Dr. Martin gives employers advice as well, right? That they need to deal with this workplace anxiety because it can affect how people behave, right, Rhonda? In what way can workplace anxiety affect how people behave?
They aren't always being their best self, as Dr. Martin puts it. People aren't behaving in their best way, especially if there's change going on, innovation and risk-taking.
Yeah. And innovation and risk-taking are crucial for the growth of a company. So if employees are anxious and they're worried, they're not going to be able to be innovative or take risks because they're worried about losing their jobs. They're worried about not doing enough. They're worried about looking bad. So they're so focused on that and they're putting all their energy on looking better and making sure they're doing well, that they're not thinking about how can I improve, how can I make this company better. So the advice here is that employers need to address this productivity anxiety. And the way to address it is to give explicits, which means very clear expectations, so employees know that they're working on the right things. All right. So today we'll continue with the advice for employers. Join us where the article says managers should clearly define performance goals.
Managers should clearly define performance goals with milestones and measurements and prioritize tasks based on key business objectives. That should take some of the anxiety away, says Martin. Recognition also plays a part. When people are recognized, they report lower stress, says Martin. Recognition sends a signal that says, you're doing just fine. We appreciate you. It might be a tough time, but you're doing well. It also helps when leaders establish regular check-in times. If you don't know that a team member is feeling anxious, you can't address it, says Martin. I'm a big fan of a check-in that isn't just about the tasks that people do or goals and outcomes, she says. Also, check in on the person and how they're doing so that you can provide support as appropriate. It's not uncommon for an employee to have something in their personal life impact what they're expected to do at work. Leaders should also watch for out-of-character behaviors that might indicate there is something going on. When a leader and employee have a great relationship, it is easier to see when things are not what they usually are, says Martin.
When a leader and employee have a great relationship, it's easier to see when things are not what they usually are. And I feel like that's true in a lot of circumstances, right? We're people. I feel like God created us to be in relationship.
Yes.
And we're not islands. We're not, you know, in our own little capsules. We're meant to be in relationship.
Yes.
So we need to engage with people and check in with people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning of this section. It's a continuation of what we were talking about yesterday, what employers should do. So besides giving specific expectations, they also need to clearly define performance goals with milestones and measurements and prioritize tasks based on key business objectives. Why do you think that this could be beneficial in addressing productivity anxiety, Rhonda?
If we're struggling with anxiety, that's something inside ourselves, it's helpful to have those clear measurements and markers, milestones, for to look out, to check, so that my inner feelings aren't the way I measure my worth,
right,
but something outside me. And it's managers who should and can do that in the workplace. Here's the goal.
Yeah.
Here's the schedule.
Right.
I want you to get here
right
by this time. That helps take away the anxiety. I like that word milestones. It's a great English word. You think about in some places, rural places, there's a marker,
right,
a rock or a post or a sign every mile. And that's a good way to get through the workday, get through the work year.
Yeah.
We produce a magazine, so we have a production schedule.
Right.
But even then, on the day-to-day basis, you sometimes need your manager to come and say, how's it going?
Right.
Can you get this done by tomorrow at 10?
Mm-hmm.
And that can take away the anxiety of, am I doing enough? Am I working fast enough? Right. Is this what they want?
Mm-hmm.
So milestones and measurements, then we can, to finish the sentence, prioritize tasks.
Yeah. I feel like as humans, we always need to feel like we're making progress.
Yes.
We don't ever want to feel like we're working, and just kind of just staying in the same place.
Right.
And I think of when I was starting to run, right? My friends tried to sign me up for a half marathon at first. I said, no way, because I hated running, because it just felt like so repetitive, so boring, until I, you know, started downloading an app that would track my distance, and I would have that in my ear, so at least I would feel like, okay, I'm not just moving my feet, I'm actually getting somewhere. You know, they would count, you know, half a kilometer, 1 kilometer, 1.5. And so I feel like, okay, I'm making progress. And I feel like that's exactly what you're talking about here, right, with the milestones, is the idea that people feel that they are making progress, that they are getting things done, right? Because remember yesterday we were talking about how the anxiety comes from people feeling like, or wondering if they're doing enough, even if they are objectively doing a lot. So having these clear milestones and measurements, and also letting people know these are the tasks you should be focusing on, this addresses the two issues we talked about yesterday. Am I doing enough, and am I doing the right things, right? And this should take some of the anxiety away. Also, recognition will also help. Why is it so important for people to be recognized, you think, Rhonda?
Because that's how God made us. We are made to be seen,
right,
and known. That's what we desire. Nobody wants to seem hidden or unnoticed.
Yes.
So I think on a very profound level, it's what we all are made for, to be recognized. And when people are recognized, in other words, in the workplace, it is said aloud, or said, at least said to you,
right,
privately,
yeah,
I see you.
Yeah.
I notice.
It answers the question, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with, like, does it even matter if I'm here?
Right, right. And we know that that only leads towards despair.
Yes.
You know, that if we start asking that kind of question,
right,
that takes us down a very bad road.
Yeah.
Right?
Am I even doing anything that makes a difference? Right. And so with the recognition, it's acknowledgement that, hey, no, you are doing a good job. You're doing fine. We appreciate you. I know it's a hard time right now, but you're doing well. Right?
I think those are great for our listeners, great English phrases to know. If
you're a
manager or a coworker, to say to someone these simple sentences, you're doing just fine. We appreciate you. It might be a tough time, but you're doing well. So maybe put those in your active English usage vocabulary. Take those to the workplace and look at people around you and say, maybe there's someone I can say, I appreciate you, or we appreciate you.
Yes.
So use those phrases.
Yeah, and you know, as we're talking about this, as we're discussing this article, one thought came to mind is, well, who's doing it for the bosses? Who's doing it for the managers? Because they're humans too.
Right.
Right? So I think as employees, sometimes just a little bit of advice, or you can also talk to your boss.
Yes.
You know, if you see something that you appreciate about your boss, something that they've done well, let them know, acknowledge it, right? I'm sure they would appreciate that as well. Well, yesterday we talked about check-ins, right? We told employees, we said that employees should schedule their own check-ins and be direct. Well, here we're telling leaders, we're telling the employers that they should establish regular check-in times, because sometimes the employees aren't proactive. Sometimes they don't know that they can schedule these check-in times. Sometimes, like Rhonda, you were sharing, sometimes you feel like the boss is too busy. You don't want to bother them. You don't want to trouble them. So having these established regular check-in times gives people permission to come and talk to you, right? And this helps the employers in what way, Rhonda? It says, if you don't know that a team member is feeling anxious,
you, the employer, manager, can't address it. You can't speak to it.
Exactly. Because if you don't even know they're struggling, if you don't know that they're worried or stressed, obviously you're not going to be able to address it, right? And Dr. Martin says that she's a big fan of a check-in that isn't just about the tasks that people do or goals and outcomes. What is she talking about here?
Sure. When she says it isn't just about, she means not only talk about those tasks, those specific work duties.
Right. What have you done? Where are you going? That kind
right.
of stuff. Yeah.
She says, I'm a big fan. I really, really encourage you talk about more than that. She says, check in on the person. How are they doing? In other words, I guess you can't get too personal in a workplace, but make sure not just that the things on paper are great, but that the person is not dealing with anxiety
right.
or ready to quit
yes.
or feeling something, because you want the whole company to work well. So you want to provide support as appropriate. I like that phrase, as appropriate. Appropriate support. Obviously, you're not going to try to solve someone's marriage problem.
Exactly.
But there might be appropriate support
yeah.
in the workplace, like, oh, do you need someone to take over that
yeah.
task? So something that's appropriate. I like that English phrase, as appropriate. We often say that, like, let's talk about people as appropriate.
Right.
We
yeah.
use that. It's a different way to say the word.
In the right way, you know, right? So you don't want to overstep. You don't want to understep. Just exactly what a boss should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good reminder. We're not machines. Your employees aren't machines. They do have emotions. Humans are complex and they have a life outside of work. And sometimes that can also affect their work performance, right? So the next sentence here, it says, it's not uncommon, meaning it's something that happens often, for an employee to have something in their personal life impact what they're expected to do at work. I'm thinking about you, Rhonda, you know, hope you don't mind me bringing up your mom passing away
yes.
last year, right? That was something in your personal life, right? And that obviously, if not addressed or not talked about and it's just swept under the rug, that can affect you at work, right?
I appreciate that very much, because that's exactly what I was thinking about. I don't usually come to work and cry, but after my mother's death, I had a hard time staying focused or being as cheerful as I like to be, because I'm a people person. So
right.
when I see people, I want to say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I like to be the encourager.
Yes.
But there was a day, I'll just say recently, when I just couldn't stop crying at work, which is out of character for me. In other words, out of character, great phrase, not typical
yeah.
of me at work. And one of our dear Heavenly Melody singers, Jack, saw me in the stairwell and he gave me a big hug. We never work together, but he knew me enough to know, ooh, she's crying. That's not usual. So there was and that was really encouraging. So that's a personal story. Something someone might do in the workplace that's out of character, not typical of their usual qualities, might be if they suddenly show a burst of anger.
Right.
That if someone who is always the encouraging one, always interacts cheerfully and calmly, sudden burst of anger, I hope they won't just get fired.
Right.
Maybe that's a place to step in and say, what's going on?
Yeah. Or someone who's usually punctual.
Yes.
Maybe they start showing up late, or someone who's usually very careful. You know, they usually get things correct. They start making small mistakes here and there. Things that are out of character, right? This might indicate that there's something going on, and it takes an employer who's intuitive to be able to pick up on these things. And again, when a leader and employee have a great relationship, it's easier to see when things are not what they usually are. Okay. So if you don't have a relationship with your employees, you don't know about them, you're not going to be able to pick up on anything that is out of character. All right, let's finish up this article and then we will discuss.
The cost of anxiety. Finally, managers can send signals to their team that their well-being is important. For example, they can model good restorative behavior by taking advantage of the resources that the company offers, such as paid time off, mental health support, and flexible working policies. productivity anxiety impacts everyone. Individuals suffer in terms of their personal well-being, which bleeds into things like absenteeism, low performance, and even leaving the organization. Productivity anxiety can impact organizational culture. Left to fester, it can create a culture of toxic competition, firefighting, working nights and weekends, and burnout, says Martin. The employee has a role, but the organization and the leader need to create that space that is psychologically safe enough for employees to talk about these things, says Martin. By setting clear expectations and opening lines of communication, you and your team can turn productivity into a positive topic again.
So there can be a cost of anxiety. When employees feel anxious, it's not just a feeling that they have and they can just brush aside. It can actually affect their performance, right? And it's important for managers to let employees know that they do care about their well-being. That's an interesting phrase, right? Well-being. What are we talking about when we talk about someone's well-being?
Their overall physical, emotional, even spiritual good.
Yeah. So it's not just about, are you getting things done? Are you finishing the tasks on time? Are you making money? Are you selling products? It's also about how are you doing as a person, right? And how can a manager send signals to their team that they care about their well-being?
They can be an example. Here it says they can model good restorative behavior. So they can be an example of behavior that restores you, taking advantage of the resources in the company. So there might be paid time off to take care of your personal needs, flexible working policies. So the managers themselves could be examples of using these resources.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and we talked about this yesterday about how, especially here in Asia, people don't leave work until the boss leaves, right? And so when a manager models taking leave, taking time off, using therapists, you know, the mental health support therapists, and flexible working policies, maybe sometimes working from home, they see this behavior modeled. It's almost giving permission to the employees to do so as well, right? And here it talks about productivity anxiety, how it impacts everyone. Individuals suffer in terms of their personal well-being. But this doesn't just stay as an individual thing. It bleeds into things like absenteeism, low performance, and even leaving the organization. That's huge. Let's talk about this phrase, to bleed into something. It's an interesting phrase, don't you think?
It is. Blood. We all know what blood is. If something bleeds, the blood is going out. Well, this is using it as a metaphor, problems that slowly spread through something. So there's problems with an individual or many individuals, then people start being absent from work as absenteeism, the regular absence from work. People start performing in a lower way and people quit, even leave the organization. So it goes on to say that anxiety can bleed into or impact the whole culture, the organizational culture.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, productivity anxiety is not just an individual thing. This will start to impact how people work, and this will bleed. It seeps into the culture, and it causes people to miss work, causes people to not do as well as work. Because again, if you feel like you're doing so much and you're putting all this effort, but you don't feel like you're making any progress, eventually you just feel like, well, what's the point, right?
Yes.
And then eventually nobody wants to stay in that kind of environment. They might quit. They might leave.
I like this word that's used at the end of that paragraph we're talking about, fester.
Yes.
That is a powerful English word. If I have a little cut on my arm and it starts to get infected and I don't clean it, it's a word we use for a wound. We say a festering wound, or the wound festers. So putting that word in an article about your workplace is saying something that might start small, like a feeling of anxiety that has a cause, if that is not treated, it becomes a festering wound. So it's a powerful English word to use to describe what might have been a small problem that could have been fixed easily is getting more and more infected, and I'm picturing a really ugly infection on my arm.
Right.
And what you don't—that's what you don't want the company to become like.
And
you don't want it to become a sick company.
Yeah, if you don't deal with it, it creates toxic competition, firefighting, which just means you're constantly trying to deal with problems, working nights and weekends, and burnout, meaning just that feeling of I don't have any motivation to do anything, right? And so basically everybody in a company, from the top to the bottom, the employees to the employers, everyone has a responsibility in this situation to create the best environment for everyone and to deal with this workplace environment, workplace anxiety. And the best way is to just have clear communication to discuss. And when you're able to openly discuss issues, you can turn productivity into a positive topic again. Well, I hope that this has been a positive experience for you studying this article with us. It's been therapeutic for me, I feel. How about you?
Me too. Being with you, Campbell, because we do work in the same company.
Yes.
And it's good to just hear you talk about these issues.
Yes.
And I want to be part of a company that encourages you, and as you do to me.
Thank you, Rhonda. Well, friends, I hope that you were able to learn something from this article. Make sure you join us again next time for our next article. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.